We got Dana Durnford standing by, Yoshi. Let's go up and say hi.
Good to hear he's back.
Yeah. Let's go up and say hello to Dana. Are you there, Dana? Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Jeff. Thank you. Lovely Yoshi. That was spectacular. He's right. We got to tip this whole industry and drop it on its head over and over and over.
Correct.
Because it's not going to go willingly. And I think that's what's going to happen in 2015. I think people are, when you wake up a mass of people, they're going to be so angry. They're going to be looking for heads, not answers, just heads.
Correct.
And Yoshi nailed it right on the head.
Yeah.
Where, what are we doing? What, you know, everybody out there who has the ability and think that they're insignificant or something, look at Jeff. Jeff's just a single individual. Look at Yoshi. Yoshi's just a single individual. And look what they have accomplished. Look how many people they have informed and educated. I mean, really, if you're sitting there and you're listening to Jeff and Yoshi and myself, you really got to consider you're no different. You're one person. And you can really, truly, if you put your set your soul on and make a difference in many different ways. And, of course, I'm up on the West Coast. I just ran in to catch the show tonight, and they get a little break tie up to a wharf. I just covered 670 nautical miles in a little under 2.5 days on the inside channels, and the channels are about half a mile wide on the average. And the idea was to look for flocks of birds, do another run around while I was waiting for the tide to get back to the daylight. So they hit tide at low tide, but you need daylight to pull that off. And so I decided I got a few days to wait before the tide gets back into the daylight cycle. And I had a brilliant idea. I go up all these channels I probably would never get to and run through them and find a flock of birds. There had to be a flock of birds there somewhere because I can't find them, folks. I don't know what to make of it, and everybody I talk to don't know what to make of it. And, you know, this 300 species of birds roughly along the coastline, and you can't find a flock of birds. So literally every mile you should find a flock of birds, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 birds diving and feeding. And the idea is, once again, to put cameras on the water and see what they're feeding on, but we can't find a flock of birds. That is unimaginable. That's inconceivable. Something very visible and something that I think most people, I mean, there's a huge industry out there in bird watching, and yet we don't see any these people talking about it. Maybe I got to try to reach out to them. But not to have no birds, this summer there was no insects. This year there's nothing on the coastline, and whatever is deer, it's so scarce. You really got to hunt for it. To get up on the beaches with a camera in your hand, you got nothing to take a picture of on your rock. And that is not the way British Columbia is supposed to be. Everybody that might have visited British Columbia would know. And the weather has broken, Jeff, and we're about to hit the big one, the Queen Charlotte Islands. It looks like 9 days of good weather. And that's something that's famous right around this entire planet. And this whole coastline is Canada. Canada's notorious for prestigious coastlines, just beautiful, maintained, and people stay basically away from all the coastline except for the passing fishermen. And so you can't find a species on the coastline. Like Yoshi said, the humans are right on the same level as everything else. So if everything else disappears, that means we have to disappear too. We haven't got time to sit around anymore. We haven't got time to consider, you know, how we're going to get an alternative source. We need just to go ahead and do it. We need to treat it as a meteorite coming.
Absolutely right. We can't wait. We can't go to the government. We can't wait for any organization at all. None. We just got to do it. The issue I would ask you, we have a report that 15,000 sea lion pups have died along the Southern California coast. Now, who knows how accurate that is? It could be 50,000. There could be none left. We don't know. They're obviously on the way to extinction. That's what's happening. There's no question about it. And no one's talking about it. Nobody will say radiation. They just keep talking about unknown, strange things. It's very frustrating.
They equate it with And they don't come up with an actual diagnosis. They don't come up with an actual pathogen or disease.
No, never.
Virus or anything. They just say it could be. And that seems to be enough to pacify every single person out there that is not following the Fukushima side of it and putting that into the equation too. So anybody who's not familiar with Fukushima immediately goes along with what they say. But anybody that's familiar with Fukushima immediately says, hey, they never said radiation. And I talked to a lot of people up here, and I discovered my first question now I ask people is, are you familiar with the melted reactors in Japan? They always say yes. And then I say, how many reactors are melted in Japan? They always say what? Because they don't know.
They don't know.
They really don't know.
No.
And they're not offended by it, because I always try to educate them.
Yeah.
It just seems like everybody's, like Yoshi was saying earlier, you know, football or just la-la-la land, and you can't break through to that. If you said to them, maybe Al-Qaeda's around the corner, they're going to get you, they'd probably run away screaming.
No, yeah,
but
no doubt.
If you say radiation...
No, they can't see it, they can't feel it, they can't touch it. All they hear are stories. They hear about a few dead fish, dead birds. They don't know. But my goodness, I'll never forget when you're on this program... last fall, talking about no insects, that told me a ton.
Yeah.
No birds. Now you get 100,000 dead birds on a couple of different beaches up there in British Columbia. I forgot the species now.
Yeah.
It's the pups, the sea lion pups, though, in Southern California that need to make people aware that the radiation and the North Pacific Current is coming down and hitting California right smack in the middle. And it's getting grim. We're looking at enormous losses of life that have already occurred that no one is talking about. Nobody, except us. Hold on, we'll come right back in just a couple. Okay, let's get right back to business. Yochi, one of the things I mentioned to Dana a couple of weeks ago when you were not here was the reaction from the people along the British Columbia coast. They're beginning to realize something is very, very wrong. And I've asked him, and he's already doing this. Wherever he can, he goes to these small towns and talks to people. Tell us more, Dana, about what's going on up there. And I don't want to harp on this, but the lack of insects is an enormous indicator. Huge.
Yeah, the insects on this coastline would normally drive you back onto your boat and chase you away right away. And then the low tide zone itself would normally be a treacherous place for insects because of all the bacteria and that is evaporating, drying out in the sun. And so it was a huge place for flies, huge for insects, but also a lot of indigenous insects for the shoreline itself.
Well, they break down all the organic matter. That's what they eat. That's what they do. And there's nothing for them to feed on.
No, there's nothing there. There's nothing. There's zero on the shoreline. You get there with a knife and you couldn't scrape enough off to make a soup out of it for one person. The DNA of everything is missing. You can't collect DNA of anything. And it's a really staggering, it's a very surreal environment when you're out here by yourself and you're out there in the middle of nowhere and you're isolated. But go back to the communities, I guess. I did talk to some of the geoduck duck divers. These are $25,000 an hour divers. Real money, Jeff, $25,000 an hour. Kid you not. And it might be double that depending on what you get at the auction block for that stuff. And they're heading over. I ran into a whole bunch of them. And I'm going to raft up when I'm going to go over there and use them as a floating fuel station because they've got all the luxuries, obviously. And so they have packers, big ships going back and forth all the time with water and fuel.
Uh-huh.
I'll be able to accommodate that in Queen Charlotte's. It's a very fortunate break for me. And it's a big family, really, and I happen to fit in there. Now, the natives in the communities out here, they get really upset, and the skepticism is not in their eyes at all because they live in the environment. So they understand there's nothing there, But I'm able to bring it together into a package for them, and that really, truly gets far around them. I got a lot of hope for the Native community and communities in British Columbia. I really do. I think they might just be the leapfrog for the whole planet. And if I can find the right people and get them on a camera and get them to tell their story of the difference, and I'm trying to get myself invited. I know this sounds a bit odd, but I'm trying to get myself invited to their fest, their feast.
Sure.
And just to get to know them, and then get and I want to actually ask a lot of the communities. I just came up with a great idea, was to go around to all the communities over the next couple of months as I'm here and ask for somebody who ate mussels in the last 4 years, and because they would eat mussels all the time naturally, and actually find somebody who had eaten mussels in the last 4 years off that particular coastline from the low tide zone. And I think that'll be quite the challenge. And what's going to end up happening is going to be pre-2011, most likely will be the only ones I'm hearing from. But I think that could be, that's attainable, because you're looking at a little community of about 170 people.
Uh-huh.
And so it should be, you know, there's nasty weather right now. It's hard to do anything, but the weather is breaking.
Well, what's happening down here, we literally did not have a winter in Oregon. It was just, last year we got a couple of days, -3, -4, which was rather unusual. We'll get down in the teens. This year is 65 degrees today. We've had two periods of intense rain. That's it. Virtually no snowpack on the surrounding mountains. Nothing. And in the east here in the U.S., you've seen the weather. You've heard about it. It's just one constant deluge of snow. Everything is ass backwards. What I'm suggesting here is the spring along the British Columbia coast is going to be vastly different. More each year, but this year, I think even the locals, and when you have 170 people in a small community, they are vibrating in total resonance with the land, I should think. And they're going to notice something, I think, this spring, I'm projecting here, but that is going to be very upsetting to them.
I think so, because you can't miss that big red dinky coming in all these harbors and taking off the next morning just after sunrise over and over and over, because that's what I got a tendency to do now, is get in and tie up to a wharf somewhere at nighttime. I had a little too much of that out there by myself, tied up at nighttime getting caught in storm stuff. And so I'm starting to go in the ports out in the middle of nowhere.
Right,
but I'm starting to realize, because people come up and talk to me when they get a chance and ask me what I'm doing, because you see me come in at night and then I take off again early the next morning. No one gets a chance to talk to me. That's not an accident. That's to get your curiosity up.
Yeah.
And so you keep going back in, and then when I start to talk to them, they actually understand what you're really doing, because you see you coming and going, coming and going, and you're a very odd man in that barrel of pickles, because you don't get many visitors.
Yeah.
But the insects, I think, you know, they're all going to be educated by this spring, that's for sure. I'm going to have my way with that, and it takes time to do what I'm trying to pull off here, but I'm going to hit every community, and I am, get them acclimated to me, and then get in tight with that community enough that I can do a presentation and get them up to speed.
Yeah. And make sure they stay in touch with you so that when you do go back home, you'll be able to email them or otherwise get in touch with them and ask how things are. This would be crucial.
Ooh. I got one community down there that wants to go out and collect stuff for me.
So that's what I'm saying.
I got the boot in there, and they also want to know if there's anything. They got a house down there I could use. I just remembered that, and just because all the bad weather, I got blown up the other side of the coast, and then I made a run up the inside channels looking for birds, and I just pulled in the Rupert here so I can get the telephone call tonight. It's unbelievable how busy I really truly am.
Yeah.
It's nonstop from the moment I wake till the moment I sleep. It's just fatigued each night.
Yeah.
To the point now where I can't catch up on anything. The last 7, 8, 9 days, I haven't been able to. I just get through each day, and I can't compile anything or have any synopsis or make a video.
Well, you're doing the work of 10 people. Yochi, what about insects? Now, we've seen deformities. We've seen photographs. What about insects and birds and general levels of wildlife activity on eastern Japan, along Fukushima Prefecture and other areas nearby? Has there been a change?
Well, most of the birds. Now, Fukushima was a very living province. It was an area of forest, that mountains that rush to the sea, a lot of water, a lot of life. But insects started dying in that first year, in that first few months. There were massive kill-offs of species, and the build-up in their bodies, where you see insect shells all over the place. So right now, not a lot of the local endemic birds. It's like migratories passing through, and I'm afraid that they may be passing through very quickly because they've got nothing to eat there. So
same thing here.
Harm them as much.
Yeah, same thing here.
Exactly. They've got a. But the problem is you know, that's part of their pathway. They have to eat along the way. You know, roost a bit, sleep a bit, get their rest, eat a little bit to get the sugars they need.
Yeah.
So this is going to be devastating over the years. Yeah.
I'm we have to take a break here. Just a minute. We'll come right back. I'm really appalled at how few indigenous birds there are to see anymore, even in the spring and summer. We used to have red-winged blackbirds all over the place, even orioles, you name it, finches of all kinds. I didn't see any last year, and it's going to be worse this year. There's no question, none. These are migratory, some of them. They fly long distances, and as you say, nothing to eat along the way, and they either perish or they keep flying. It's a simple one. Hold on. We'll come right back.
We are seeing, one thing, Jeff, we are seeing a lot of Japanese species down in Thailand. They've migrated down.
Oh, they've migrated south. Interesting. All right. Yeah, stand by just a minute.
They're all good. They've got to stay with
them. Yeah. We'll be right back. Okay, let's get back and wrap up with Dana so he can get some rest. He'll be out at it early again tomorrow. What do you want to add, Dana, to this?
Thanks, Jeff. That's true. I do want to crash and burn. It's going to be up early tomorrow morning and gone again. All you tell people is that, once again, you know, get informed. And remember, when someone don't believe that there's an issue, you tell them, we've never seen a melted reactor on this planet before, and there's three in Japan and they're right on the ocean. Everybody needs to confront anybody who's not willing to have that debate. Mm-hmm. There's no time for games anymore, like Yoshi said, starting off. Time for games is gone. It's time to get it back in people's faces. And one of my supporters put an ad in the local newspaper in America for the nuclearproctologist.org.
Very
and
nice.
I thought that was absolutely brilliant. And who knows, you know, maybe that's the beginning of the revolution itself, for sure. Good night for everybody. Good night.
Okay, Yogi. Dana, good night.
Yeah, thank you, my friend, for your support. It's important, and thank you.
Indeed.
Take care. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.